Good morning. I call this regular scheduled meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. We have all three commissioners here, so we definitely have a quorum. Before anything else, would you please join me in pledging our allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Just a couple of opening comments. Today at noon is the MSA United Way campaign kickoff downstairs in the Memorial Hall. And I believe they have pizza for lunch for people that show up. So I just want to encourage people to potentially attend that. I also want to point out, I mean, sometimes you see these things and you know that there's going to be more activity coming up with them. But we have six cases today where we're assuming that they all receive affirmative votes, where we're issuing notices of opportunities for comments or requests for public hearing. And two of them are kind of two-parters. They're telecommunications cases where in those cases they're seeking both a CPC and ETC status. So our schedule is going to be hectic in the coming months. And I just, as I was preparing for the meeting, I just kept thinking, like, man, it's one notice after another. We got a lot of things coming up. So just observation. Commissioner Haugenhoffert.
Good morning. No opening comments.
Commissioner Kringsted.
I just want to say a warm welcome. I see Janelle sitting in the crowd, not to put you on the spot, but Janelle is our new legal assistant here at the commission. So just want to offer a very warm welcome to you. We're so glad that you're here with us at our agency, joining our, we like to sometimes call ourselves a large dysfunctional family in the best possible way. So glad to have you aboard and welcome.
Okay. With that, we have three items on the consent calendar. I move approval of those items plus the previous minutes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and I move the commission approve bond release 2 for surface coal mining permit NACT-8501 held by the Coteau Properties Company for the Freedom Mine to release all reclamation liabilities on 162.5 acres of land located in portions of Section 15 and 16, Township 146 North, Range 88 West, Mercer County, effective December 19, 2025, unless a formal hearing was requested in Coteau Properties Company Bond Release 2, Permit NACT-9501, Application Case Number RC-21-383.
Second.
So the application contains, as the motion said, 162.5 acres. This acreage is in two different sections, which are owned, in this case, not by the mine. It's owned by a limited liability partnership. The tract contains just under 65 acres of reclaimed native grassland, a little stock pond, and just over 97 acres that were not affected by mining at all. The tract was initially affected by mining in 2005, and the coal removal operations were completed in 2008 and 2009. Soil respreading activities and the initial seedings to initiate the 10-year revegetation period were completed in 2012 and 2014. The vegetation establishment has been successful, and actual topsoil and subsoil respread depths have been verified by our Reclamation Division staff. A Southwest water pipeline and a stock pond provide water for this reclaimed tract. The productivity standard is calculated using the National Resources Conservation Service ecological site expected yields of the pre-mine native grassland, and these values are climatically adjusted annually using native grassland reference areas. The formal bond release inspection was conducted on September 28th of 2022, not a typo, 3 years ago. Participants included Reclamation Division staff, Coteau staff, John Sieving, who's with OSM's Casper Field Office, and one of the landowners. The Mercer County Commissioners and the Mercer County NRCS District Conservationist were invited to participate, but they declined the offer. The notice of the bond release application was republished in the official county newspaper, which is the Hazen Star, weekly from June 1st to June 22nd in 2023. No objections to this bond release application were received. Our Reclamation Division has verified that the reclaimed native grassland has been established with a diverse mix of native cool and warm season grass species. Coteau is not, and this is a big factor here, Coteau is not requesting a reduction in the bond amount. This area is part of a consolidated bond area that includes this permit and other permits at the Freedom Mine. So when there's a renewal, I always emphasize that, and I don't remember now off the top of my head, it's hundreds of millions of dollars is their total bond amount. But because they have bonding in excess of what they technically would need, and this helps just keep it going so that they don't have to redo that amount so frequently. If approved, Coteau will be released from all reclamation liabilities on this acreage as of December 19th, unless a formal hearing is requested. So the Reclamation Division recommends approval of the release application, as do I.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I just want to make a comment that I just want to give kudos to Jonathan Warren and Guy. Your memorandums are so self-explanatory that I really appreciate the detailed work that you put into it.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in LTE Wireless Incorporated, designated eligible carrier, application case number PU-25-281.
Second.
So on October 31st, LTE Wireless filed this application for designation as an ETC for the purposes of receiving federal universal service support for low-income consumers, which is also known as lifeline-only ETC designation. That's how we usually refer to it. LTE proposes to provide services by using a combination of their own facilities and reselling another carrier's facilities. And the issues to be considered in this proceeding is whether the applicant is qualified, whether the ETC universal support area should be designated or not, and if it is, whether designation of the applicant as an ETC is in the public interest. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearings must be received by January 2nd of 2026. If deemed appropriate, this commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And believing there will be no prejudice to the rights of the parties or the public interest, and finding the cases involve similar questions of law and fact, I move the commission consolidate these cases for hearing under North Dakota Administrative Code 69-02-04-04 and issue a notice of opportunity for consolidated hearing in Beck Communications Cooperative Valley City Exchange Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU-25-285, and Beck Communications Cooperative Designated Eligible Carrier Application, case number PU-25-286.
Second.
So this is one of those that I mentioned at the beginning that's a two-parter. On November 4th, Beck Communications filed these two applications, one for authorization to provide local exchange services as the incumbent local exchange carrier in the Valley City Exchange, which is currently served by CenturyLink. Issues to be considered in this first case are the fitness and ability of Beck to provide the local services, the adequacy of Beck's proposed services, the technical, financial, and managerial ability of Beck, and whether upon granting a certificate of public convenience and necessity to Beck to provide local services in the Valley City Exchange, whether CenturyLink's certificate should be relinquished or whether it should be transferred to a competitive local exchange service. The other application requested that Beck be designated as the eligible telecommunications carrier in the Valley City Exchange. And the issues to be considered in this case are the qualifications of the applicant for designation as an ETC, the ETC Universal Service Support Area to be designated, if we do, whether it is in the public interest to designate Beck as an ETC in the Valley City Exchange, and if that is done, whether upon designation of Beck as the ETC, whether CenturyLink's designation should be relinquished or whether it should be transferred to competitive local exchange service. So those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for the hearings must be received by January 2nd. If deemed appropriate, this commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio. I'll turn it over to you, Commissioner Haugenhofer.
Thank you. I move the commission adopt the order in Montana Dakota Utility Company 2024 Earnings Sharing Refund Plan Approval, case number PU-25-180.
Second.
On May 1st, MDU filed a request for approval of the 2024 Earnings Share Refund Plan pursuant to our commission's June 6, 2023 order, which was case number PU-22194. That order stipulated that MDU shall file the achieved return on equity for the period for the prior year along with their annual report, and that 70% of the earnings in excess of a 10% return on equity ROE shall be refunded to ratepayers, and that MDU shall submit a refund plan which includes the amount and timing of the refund. On September 10th, we issued a notice of opportunity for hearing and no responses were received. So MDU did file their annual report, and it showed with excess of 10% earning threshold, the result in those earning sharing refund totaled $2.9 million for 2024. They did submit two options, either refund for a two-month period to the residents or ratepayers. The total amount would have been $14.88 over a two-month period for those residential customers using 800 kilowatt per month. The other option was to the reduction of the regulatory asset balance would result in a decrease to the generation resource recovery rider. And as last year, we find that this reduction of the regulatory asset balance method would be more beneficial to the customer. So it is the conclusion or presenting of this order that MDU shall apply the 2024 over-earnings refund against the Lewis and Clark Unit 1 and Heskett Units 1 and 2 decommissioning regulatory asset balance, resulting in the reduction of the amortization rates of those assets. And then they should also file the necessary tariff revisions required.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you. I move the Commission adopt the order in Northern States Power Company Transmission Facility Cost Recovery 2026 rates, case number PU-25-257.
Second.
On September 19th, NSP filed an annual update to update its transmission cost rider. On October 9th, the Commission issued a notice of opportunity and no responses were received. So in this new tariff, they include two new projects relating to the congestion relief and voltage support and two additional projects related to the substation and transformer and feeders. The 2026 revenue requirement increased by approximately $3.8 million. Approximately $700,000 of this increase was driven by NSP's major line rebuild, with $30,000 of additional revenue requirement driven by their communication network program. Approximately $400,000 of the increase was driven by their four long-term transmission tranche one projects. The increase reflects how project construction has recently begun. So their proposal of a 2026 rate increase would be collected from January 1st, 2026 through December 31st, 2026. The change results in a billing increase for a residential customer using 750 kilowatt per month for an increase of $1.26, plus this will be added to the existing. So this increase of $1.26 plus the existing of $1.67 will bring the total rate to $2.93. The costs incurred for new and modified electric transmission facilities, I believe, are reasonable and prudent.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That ends my portfolio.
Commissioner Kringstad.
Thank you. I move the Commission deem complete the combined application for a corridor certificate and route permit and issue a notice of filing and notice of public hearings in Otter Tail Power Company / Montana Dakota Utilities Company 345 KV Jet X Transmission Line, citing application case number PU-25-236.
Second.
So this agenda item and my next agenda item are related to the same case, so I'm going to go through more of the details now, and then I don't plan to repeat it again unless it's requested. I certainly can. But so on August 8th, 2025, Otter Tail Power Company and Montana Dakota Utilities Company filed joint applications for a certificate of corridor compatibility and for a route permit concerning approximately 92 miles of double circuit capable 345 kV electric transmission facility and associated facilities in Dickey, Lemoore, and Stutsman County under a project known as the Jamestown to Ellendale Transmission Line, or Jet X. The Commission has determined that three separate public hearings will be held to hear input from members of the public in the affected counties. Each hearing will provide an overview of the project and focus on specific geographic portions of the project in the specific area of each hearing. So the first of three hearings is going to be held Monday, January 12th, 2026 at 10 a.m. at the American Legion in Ellendale. This hearing will focus primarily on portions of the project in Dickey County. Then on Wednesday, January 14th, 2026 at 9:30 a.m. at the Edgeley Armory in Edgeley. This hearing will focus primarily on portions of the project in Lemoore County. And finally, on Friday, January 16th, 2026 at 9 a.m. at the Baymont in Jamestown, that hearing will focus primarily on portions of the project in Stutsman County. The issues to be considered at those proceedings are, first, will construction, operation, and maintenance of the facility at the proposed location produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota? Second, is the proposed facility compatible with environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources? And third, will construction, operations, and maintenance of the facility at the proposed location minimize adverse human and environmental impacts while ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity and ensuring that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion?
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I guess I just want to emphasize, Commissioner Kring said you did a very good job, but these public hearings, the public from the other counties are more welcome to come to all of them. It's just that at each one, we're going to focus on a certain county. But I really want to emphasize the public is welcome to all of them.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
All right, and then related to that, I move the commission issue a notice of technical hearings in Otter Tail Power Company / Montana Dakota Utilities Company, 345 KV Jet X Transmission Line, citing application case number PU-25-236.
Second.
So again, on August 8th, Otter Tail Power and MDU filed joint applications for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit for 3485 KV electric transmission facility and associated facilities in Dickey, Lemoore, and Stutsman County. The commission has determined that two technical hearings will be held and scheduled as follows. The first will be on Thursday, January 8th, 2026 at 8:30 a.m. here at the Capitol in the Brynhild Haugland Room. And then on Friday, January 9th at 8:30 a.m. in the Pioneer Room of the State Capitol. The issues to be considered are the three issues that I previously mentioned, so I won't go through those again. But the technical hearings will permit the parties to present evidence, examine witnesses, and cross-examine witnesses. Due to time restrictions and the limited scope of this technical hearing, there will likely be no opportunity for public input during the technical hearings. Members of the public wishing to provide public input are encouraged to attend one of the public hearing dates I previously mentioned, either in Ellendale, Edgeley, or Jamestown. And so that's the order. I just want to add a little more information around this, specifically because this whole concept of technical hearings, I think, is something that's a little new, and it actually was a result of legislation that was passed earlier this year, specifically in Senate Bill 2116. So during our siting process, when we hold these public hearings, we usually have two main components that we're trying to cover. And the first is we're building a legal record with all of the technical details so we can make an informed decision that's based on the law. And equally important, in my opinion, is the second piece, which is the public input portion of the hearing. And that's where we get a chance to hear from folks who live with this infrastructure in the community. And so what we want to make sure is, in my mind, that we're effectively balancing both of those things. And there have been instances where how we typically do it is we hold one hearing to cover both of those topics, both the technical piece and the public input piece. And what we've found is on larger cases where there's a lot of public input, sometimes going through the technical aspects of the case, because there's a lot to get through, can take a large portion of the day or multiple days, and then there's not always sufficient time for public input. And we've had instances where folks have left before they've shared their thoughts with us. So that was the issue that we were facing. And so, you know, we as a commission just said, how can we improve this process to make it better for everybody? And I think that that's what Senate Bill 2116 really did, is it gave us as the commission the flexibility to essentially hold separate hearings, a technical piece and also a piece specifically for public hearings and public inputs. And so that's what we're doing in this case. So the technical hearings are going to be focused just on the technical matters here, and then we're having three input sessions in the communities themselves. And I just want to reiterate that the technical hearings that are being held at the Capitol, those are still open for the public to attend, and they're going to be live streamed on our website, so we have full transparency there. And when we were developing this legislation, one thing I was really proud of is how we coordinated with a lot of different stakeholders in the process. We talked to the Northwest Landowners Association and other important stakeholders. And I'm proud to say that this legislation received really wide support across the board, everyone from regulated industry to the Dakota Resource Council and ultimately our legislature. So I just want to take the time to thank our legislators for their support in allowing us this option. I really like this new approach, and I actually think it's going to provide better accessibility for public input, because now our public hearings in those counties, that's going to be the sole focus, and I think that's going to make it easier for impacted landowners to participate. And so in my mind, it's just it's honestly a win-win for everybody. So that's not to say that we're going to handle, you know, every siting case that comes before us in this way, but for certain instances where it is a larger case with a lot of technical detail to get through and it's garnered a lot of public interest, I think it'll be beneficial. But I would say most of our cases will likely follow our typical process of having both the technical portion and the input session in one hearing. So just to reiterate, for this particular case, we're going to have technical hearings in Bismarck on Thursday and Friday, January 8th and 9th, and then the following week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, public input hearings in Ellendale, Edgeley, and Jamestown.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
You really explained that well. I guess maybe I'm redoing some of your points, but I'm excited about this and a little nervous about it, because people who monitor these things have had years and years of becoming acclimated to our old way. And so if they've participated in a few of them and are used to a 9 o'clock hearing and we can show up at 4 or 5 in the afternoon and make our comments, they might end up missing it. Or they see the first one is here for the technical hearing, don't read the rest of the story or listen to the rest of the story, and come here to make their comments and find out that's not the time for public comment. So I hope people give this a fair chance to become acclimated to it, because I know over the years, at times, many times, we've gone well into the evening, and especially in some of the rural areas, in the case of ranchers, because a lot of these will occur in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. Because companies file things just in time so they can hopefully, in their interest, get approval and start construction when the frost comes out. And so these are in the winter. And I've always felt like it seems so unfair to the landowner who sits there and he or she has cows to feed and sitting there hour after hour to make their comments. If we let them go ahead, then we're getting comments on things that they heard uptown at the cafe that aren't even what the company has proposed. And so it's important to let the company go first. And yet, I think this really is a good effort that we have made and the legislature allowed us to make. And hopefully people will become acclimated to this process on these bigger cases, and it will benefit everybody. And maybe we're done with hearings going after midnight, and people have literally, I'm not exaggerating, sat there for over 15 hours before they got to make their comments. So good plan. Let's give it some time to, for people to get used to it.
Yeah, I'm just going to add, both of you have made some very good comments, and I think it's on us, too, to really educate, you know, this change. You did it very well here at our commission meeting. Our press release will also emphasize that. And I love the support we have from media outlets to help educate people on this upcoming hearing. So we really appreciate all the support we can get in informing the public on this change.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
All right. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Badger Wind LLC / Montana Dakota Utilities Company, partial transfer of site certificate, siting application, case number PU-25-278.
Second.
On September 11th, 2024, in case number PU-24-87, the commission issued first amended certificate of site compatibility number 64 to Badger Wind to construct an up to 262.62 megawatt wind energy conversion facility consisting of up to 93 turbines in Logan and McIntosh counties. On October 30th, 2025, Badger Wind and MDU submitted a joint application for partial transfer of first amended certificate of site compatibility to MDU. The issues to be considered in this proceeding are whether MDU agrees and is able to comply with the terms and condition of the site certificate, and second, whether the requested partial transfer is compatible with the public interest. Those interested are invited to comment on the applications in writing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by January 2nd, 2026, and if deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio.
Okay. Let me just ask, to my knowledge, we don't have anything on the admin calendar. Do either of you have anything that you wanted to add for scheduling or for discussion? So nope. Then rather than recessing for questions from the press and then reconvening later, after the announcements, we'll just adjourn and then take questions from the press. We won't need an admin meeting. So for announcements, I will point out that tomorrow we have a formal hearing down in Linton. This is one still being done the old way, where we're having the technical part and the public comment part all in one. This is on the Emmons-Logan energy storage application, a large battery facility kind of located, if you drew a kind of funny shaped square with one angular side like the state of North Dakota map has, but you went from Linton over to Wishik and up to Napoleon and back west, kind of right in the middle of that area. That's case number PU-26-209. Again, it'll be at 9 o'clock tomorrow in the Emmons County Courthouse in Linton. And then I want to jump ahead to after Thanksgiving. We'll have a big formal hearing on the XL rate case. That one has garnered a fair amount of attention. It's case number PU-24-376, the NSP 2025 electric rate increase. We're going to go as long as it takes to get done. And so if we get done in 1 or 2 or 3 days, then we're not going to continue on and come back in here on the last days. But we have reserved time. So the plan is to potentially start at 8:30 a.m. on Monday, December 1st, go through the day, start again at 8:30 on Tuesday the 2nd. On Wednesday the 3rd, we're not going to do the 8:30 meeting because we have our regular commission meeting that morning. So on Wednesday the 3rd, the rate case will start at 1 o'clock if necessary. If necessary, it will then reconvene again at 8:30 on Thursday and at 8:30 on Friday. So again, 8:30 a.m. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, and 1 o'clock on Wednesday. And then I kind of mentioned it in there, but the next regular commission meeting is December 3rd at 10 o'clock. That concludes the announcements. And with that, we will, after the meeting, we will continue recording, but take questions from the press. But the official part of this meeting is adjourned.